Right, you might want to turn back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And if your first thought is, I wonder if it'll be finished by 5:30, that's already a worry. We'll see how we get on. But it is good to be able to open up God's Word. One day I'll be digital like Phil. Have you noticed he does everything on the iPad? I'm a bit more paper conscious. I'm not as green as Phil is. But anyway, Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34, that's what we're really looking at. And one of the key challenges with what we're trying to achieve is in this series of plus ones, is just to take a bit of a tonic, just to take a bit of a summer snapshot to lighten us. We cover expositional preaching at Homegate all year round. It's great. We work through God's scripture, the best bits, the worst bits, the difficult bits, the easy bits, and we just methodically go through. And in the summer, and at certain times of the year, we get a chance just to pick out certain verses that contain a real truth. The verse we're looking at today is really, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Has it ever occurred to you that today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday? What were you worried about? Worry has a habit of raiding today, stealing today while we think about tomorrow, so we lose the moment of today. Boy, do we know that. We have people, I have people, I know people, I am capable of worry, Premier League level worry. I mean, obviously, my worries are more important than your worries. I know it's important to you, but it's all relative, isn't it? I mean, one of my big worries is, will Bolton get relegated this season? And I know that's on your mind. We're top of the league yesterday for an hour. But can you see, you can't equate your worry onto someone else. It's your bag. You know, you have this idea of a big rucksack on your back and you're going to fill it with all the weights of all the troubles, of everything else, and it's your rucksack, they're your troubles, and then you're going to have difficulty walking. Because you're weighed down, aren't you? And then some people are so good at worry, they'll take someone else's worry. No, let me take your worries. I'll have those as well, please. And it really can occupy our minds. Not only occupy our minds, our thoughts, our decisions. It hinders us, hampers us, burdens us. Is this resonating with you all? I think it does, doesn't it? We all worry about family, our health, money, work, decisions, things that might happen, things that might not happen, oh my word. I started a list. I thought we could have a worry wall. We could do like a workshop like we do in the health service. Let's get a post-it note and everybody write a worry down and we'll put it on the wall. And then I thought about my worry is already fairly big, okay? Then we've got all the worries of the people at home. That's fairly big. You can put it on your dining room walls. And in here, we'd put it all on the walls. And my worry and your worry, if we put it together, well, I think everyone, if we put it on a brick, every post-it note on a brick, that's a lot of worry. And that's just today's worry. If you think about it, we've got tomorrow's worry to look forward to. We've been running as a church for over 50 years. So we've got 50 years of worry in this building by the people that come. That is a lot of worry. Wow. Premier League stuff, isn't it? Yet God is sufficient for all our needs. He's not being negative by just saying, oh, don't worry, it'll be fine. To not abdicate responsibilities we have that we shouldn't plan or prepare for future things or tomorrow. He's saying, don't worry. Why? Because it's really about trust. Trust in God the Father. Trust in Him. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So really, when Jesus is choosing here to say, do not worry, He's telling us that because really it's about trusting Him. And I suppose the more we worry, the converse is the less we trust Him. And if we hold on to it and we live our lives, we're saying, isn't God great? Isn't God love? Isn't He fantastic? Isn't He sovereign? Isn't He everything He is? Yeah, of course, He's still got to deal with all this stuff. And I'm holding on to this and I'm still carrying it. So my real first question as I sat to prepare was really trying to look at, why does Jesus say, do not worry? You have to look back, because in the verses, I was always taught that when you see something that starts with therefore, Matthew Hill used to say, you've got to ask what it's there for. You've got to go back. So you go back to another verse, it says, but. Well, that's another connecting word. Well, that's not very helpful, is it? So you have to go back even further to see why does Jesus say, do not worry? And ultimately, you get back to verse 19. It starts with, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and rust destroy, or where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves in treasure in heaven. So in other words, this is about where our treasure is, our heart will be also. That's what he says in that passage. So that's where it starts, because then he goes on in 6:24 to say, you cannot serve both God and money. So if our entire security is in our wealth, our possessions, our status, our lifestyle, that's where it is. When that is uncertain, we will naturally worry about it. Our security, if it's in wealth, can become very uncertain very quickly. So in verse 25, Jesus says, therefore, do not worry. He's already said it. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, what your body, what you will wear. My lands, as you can see, I've mastered that one. There's an obsession with how we look. There's an obsession on wanting to be better and altering ourselves, as you see I have. But the reality is, it's not our focus. It's not what God wants us to spend our time in, looking how we appear. Yeah, we want to be smart, we want to be clean, we want to be tidy, we want to be the best we can be, but it shouldn't be our focus, should it? The wealth we have should be stored up in heaven. The appearance of us, what we look like, is we should reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Easy to say, harder to do, isn't it? Warren Wisby, you know I like him. He says this: the issue is not simply having possessions, it's allowing possessions or circumstances to become the foundation of our security. Our ultimate security is not what we possess, but it should be in God himself. It's such a tough thing to say, isn't it? Why? Because Jesus says, or God says, never will I leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is with us in the moment. He's in us, with us in the moment, because his Spirit, when we put our trust in him, when we confess him as Lord and Savior, when the Holy Spirit enters our lives, the Holy Spirit is with us in the moment. And just like whatever moment we find ourselves in today, he will be in the moment tomorrow. He was in the moment in the past, he's in the moment in the present, and he's in the moment in the future. And what Jesus is saying, don't worry about that. When that comes, we'll be there together. Live for today. Do not worry. Do not rob tomorrow. I read from Psalm 37, is it possible to fret? Fretter is a lesser state of worry. Is it? Do you have a sliding scale on your Richter scale? Is it concern leads to fretting? Leads to worry, leading anxiety, to fear. Oh, I think I need to sit down. If we allow ourselves to become so preoccupied, and we can, and I do, with that, it's justifiable, isn't it? When we face hardships in our health, when our kids face hardships, when our families face difficulties, it's not, we're concerned. But then we can easily allow it to be more and more and more, which is then to our detriment and adds no value whatsoever. Why does Jesus say, do not worry? Because it doesn't matter what the worry is. He will be with us in the moment. It's the same when we're saved. If we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if we confess our sins, it doesn't matter what our sin is in God's eyes. A sin is a sin is a sin. It doesn't matter how great we judge that sin to be or how little we regard it. To God, it's a sin, and he can't have it anywhere near him. And it needs to be dealt with. And God's love is greater than any sin you and I can individually have or collectively have as a church. And the same is true of worry. So the question is, how big is your God to cope with all that worry? I know I worried a lot when I did A-levels, probably because I hadn't worked hard enough, but I wasn't looking at that. Worry comes to children, it comes to teenagers, it comes to young adults, it comes to husbands and wives, it comes within families to parents, it comes to grandparents, aunts, uncles. Worry just comes every single day. And the reality is that our God is greater. His love covers a multitude of sins. And his grace that he gives each and every day should cause us not to worry. It's easy, that, isn't it, Simon? Easy. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Have you got it? We'll see how we are. So why does Jesus say to worry? Oh, good, I better do that. I have put these points together. The second point I want just to come across is because God cares for us. God cares for you. Matthew 6:25. Because he goes on to say, we are more important to God than food, than clothes, just like the birds of the air. He points at his creation. Do you think that sparrow is worried about what it's going to eat? Not if it comes to our house. We feed it so often, I tell you. Probably worries about whether the table's going to fall over from its weight. Nature has a way of living, of existing in harmony. And what Jesus is saying is, look, God provides in the today and he provides for tomorrow, but we have to live in today. Like the flowers of the field that grow, he makes them beautiful. Yesterday I went to a flower show. I was in a lot of trouble because it was Bolton's first home match, and I've learned the Holdens, John and Barbara, if you remember them. We meet them regularly when we go. Couldn't believe I'd gone to a flower show instead of the first home match of the season. I can't believe it either, if I'm honest. But I have to say, I loved it. It was amazing to see all the flowers, to see all the creativity that was on display, even some of the carrots that won. It was Ashover Show last week as well, and we like to spend time celebrating that. But the reason is, nature doesn't seem to have a problem with worry. Well, it's not created in God's image. It's not the pinnacle of God's creation. It's not the one that he sent his son to die for on the cross. God cares for us that much. He sent his son to die for us. He doesn't want us to worry. That's the important lesson. He cares for us. So the question is, do I believe God is trustworthy? Another truth. Does worry change anything? He says, doesn't he, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? No, you can take it though. Worry can feel productive. If I really think it through, I can probably make sense of it and find a way through. Is that what we're thinking? So we lie awake at night thinking, oh, if I did this, if I do that, if I think about this, what if, buts, maybes, honestly, it's just too much. Worry doesn't give us control. It takes today's strength and spends it on tomorrow's problems, Warren Wisby says. I like Warren Wisby. He's good, isn't he? Do you like Warren Wisby? Anyway. Worry takes today's strengths and spends it on tomorrow's problems. And it's a good way of looking at it, isn't it? So this is going to come down to a challenge, okay, later, just to let you know, we've got some homework this week. We are robbing today if we're worrying about tomorrow. And that's a shame. That's not just a shame. It stops us being effective today. What are we called to do? We're called to trust and obey. And if we're worrying, we're not obeying. And we're not trusting. So how can we be effective as God's ambassadors? How can we be God's workmanship in this church? How can we be that example, that testament, if all people look at us and we just worry, worry, worry every single day? We're preoccupied. We're looking inward and not upward. We're looking to ourselves and others rather than looking to God. Now, I'm pointing at you as I say that because it makes me more comfortable. But the reality is, this has been challenging me all week. Why Because our Heavenly Father knows. There's this lovely verse in Psalm 139, isn't there? You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. All the days adorned for me were written in your book. Because God is sovereign. He knows us. Can we understand that? No. Are we going to worry about that? Probably. Is he going to help us by worrying about it? Or do we just trust? It's a fine balancing, isn't it? Our Heavenly Father, we believe, knows us personally, individually, lovingly, caringly. He wants us to be part of his kingdom, to be part of his family, to be a co-heir with Christ. Why? Because he created the world and made it righteous, 100%. Sin entered the world. And we need to be reconciled to God before we can have that eternity with him. And our physical life on this earth is that time when we get opportunity to draw near to God. He calls us to him. And we get to live this life. Do we live it in fear, in anxiety, in worry? Or do we live it in faith and trust? We know what we want to do. You all agree with me, I'm sure. The balance is how do we do that? But our Heavenly Father knows us. You see, God knows what tomorrow holds. Even when we don't. Do you remember the manna from heaven that came down to the Israelites? Every day the manna came and the quail came and they ate. And if they tried to store it over, do that thing we all do just in case. Have a little supply, keep a bit for tomorrow. It rotted. Until the Sabbath when two lots came that survived. God was showing the Israelites in the wilderness that they had to trust him today and live in today and not worry about tomorrow. So God is with us today and he's ahead of us in the tomorrow. Now I know that the circumstances and the situations we have, we've all faced difficulties. As a church family, we value the prayers when, you know, my mum's not well, Timothy hasn't been well, he's so much better now, we value those prayers. And it's really encouraging that we do share. It uplifts us. It encourages us. But the reality is it doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't make it something you won't worry about. And it really is quite a discipline to trust, isn't it? We could be carefree. Oh, it's all in God's hands. Don't worry about that. It'll be fine. We could live as we like. That's not what he's saying. He's saying we have to trust him. And when we trust him, don't worry. I've got you. And my experience and my testimony is that when I look back at the times in my life when I've had difficulties or gone through difficulties, knowing people are praying, knowing prayer is being answered, knowing that God is faithful and true has helped me. Knowing that he is with me in the now and he's there ahead of us in the tomorrow is of comfort. But it doesn't mean we don't have to face those things that make us worry. Seek first the kingdom of God. Comes to verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. All that peace, that reassurance, that grace, wow, that love, that mercy, all of it, every bit of it. Not a little offer every 2 weeks on the front of a magazine. Not something you have to subscribe to pay for. What you have to do is trust in the Lord Jesus. And when we do that, all these things, when we seek first his kingdom, all these things will be given you as well. The cure of what we're trying is not simply trying harder not to worry. Okay, if we try not to worry, you're going to fail, okay? You're going to worry about failing on top of everything else. It's hard, isn't it? What is the answer to worry? The answer is seek first his kingdom. There you have it. Seek first his kingdom. How do we do that? We pray. We read. We spend time with God. We hand over to him the situation, the circumstance we're in. The cure is not simply trying harder not to worry. It's putting God first and trusting in his faithfulness. We sang it, didn't we? What a faithful God have I. He will hold me fast. Seek ye first his kingdom. Hallelujah. And we go around again. So, what is going to happen to me now? Well, you could ask that question. The real question is probably, what does God want me to do today? And by just changing that a little bit, we're putting God first. Seeking his will. Seeking his guidance, his leading, his conviction. So instead of us trying to find something to do, we're asking him, what do you need me to do? What do you want me to do? Is it to pray with someone? Is it to do something nice for someone? Is it to pay something forward? Is it to be, you know, whatever it is? Is it just to make time to read the word and immerse myself in it? So, there you have. That is up to verse 34. We're right there. We're nearly finished, guys. Nearly, not quite. Do not worry about tomorrow. That's what he says. Why? Because tomorrow is not ours yet. Okay? That's what I want you to take home. It's not ours yet. It's not been handed to you. We've got grace for today and we're living in today. Tomorrow is not ours yet. There's a difference between planning for tomorrow, which is not a bad thing, and preparing, and I need to do that probably more often, but worrying about it. It's the Lord's will what comes into our lives tomorrow. How many times do we hear of something in someone's life? You think you've got a plan for tomorrow and then something happens and your life is turned upside down. You couldn't worry about it because you didn't know about it. So instead, all that worry you did was completely wasted because it didn't come about anyway. It's a bit like going on holiday. Many people have been on holiday and you pack a bag for holiday, don't you? You put your clothes in and you make it then. Just like imagine you've packed a bag for holiday. Big case, lovely case. Cost a lot of money if it's the various posh luggage. You go there and you've got your case. How stupid would it be if you then try to pack a case for your holiday next year? I'll take that just in case. Go with two cases. In fact, I have four holidays. Well, that's four cases. Well, I've got to think about what I'm going to do. Well, this year I'm going to the beach. Next year I'm going to go skiing. So, got to get the skis sorted. So you've got to take your skis on holiday with you to the beach. Why are we trying to carry tomorrow's worries with us today? It's pointless. If we're trusting we're going to have a great holiday, and I've had a great holiday this year. Great holidays with time, with family, friends. You can have fantastic memories built. Then worry about the holiday. No, don't worry. When the next holiday comes, you'll prepare for that. You see, if we live faithfully today, we recognize that tomorrow's isn't ours yet. And that's the first practical point I think we can have. Live faithfully today. Second point, tomorrow is completely in God's hands. Jesus says, doesn't he, tomorrow will worry about itself. That's because tomorrow belongs to God. When tomorrow comes, God is already there. He'll meet us there. Psalm 139, even there your hand will guide me. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. What a comfort that is. What a challenge it is. Why? I just like to worry. It's lovely. It's my favorite pastime. What are you doing? I'm on an app. No, I'm not on an app. I'm just worrying. It's so easy to slip into worry, isn't it? Perhaps we face a decision or we've got a difficult conversation or we have financial concerns. We've got a family matter or a work situation. You don't have to know everything now. If we trust God, Psalm 118 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Tomorrow is in God's hands. We can't control tomorrow. And it's difficult, isn't it? We know this firsthand. I'm sure each of you know this. When you're facing uncertainty, obviously, it's preying on your mind. How about this for a challenge? Why don't we pray for one another that we'll know peace, that we won't worry? So instead of worrying about our stuff that's going to be no value, add nothing of any interest, it's not going to count for anything, we take that time to pray for others known to us, that they would know God's peace, that they would trust in God, that they would draw on his faithfulness, that they wouldn't worry, that they wouldn't be anxious. So instead of us worrying about stuff, we're now asking God to help others. It's my prayer, very much my prayer at the minute, that people don't worry unnecessarily. I say that as a worrier. But I shouldn't be a worrier, I should be a warrior. A warrior who's preparing for battle. Because ultimately, worry is a sin. Anxiety is sinful. It's not trusting. Don't mean to blame you all, but obviously I don't suffer with it myself. But it is ultimately sinful to not trust God, to try and do something in our own strength, in our own abilities that actually are God-given abilities. So the application is that as we struggle with worry, what we need to do is pray. To not be a worrier, to be a warrior. It's only by that that we're trusting God. We're seeking his kingdom first, and we know he's in control. Trust him with what we cannot control. And our final point is today, Jesus says it himself in verse 34, today has enough trouble. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He doesn't promise that it won't be trouble-free. Did you notice that? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything will be fine. You're not going to have any hardship. You're not going to have any difficulties. Those are things that strengthen our faith, test our faith, grow our faith. But we have to face them. How comforting it is when we face them knowing the Lord is there with us in them. Knowing our church family, our fellowship, our family are praying for us, encouraging us, supporting us. Jesus knows life is difficult. I don't think being crucified was very easy. I don't think being whipped is easy. I don't think being persecuted is easy. I don't think being in pain is easy at all. I know this really well. But the reality is, in all of that difficulty, our prayer has to be, Lord, give me the grace to cope. Give me the rest. Give me the peace. We do not need to add the trouble of tomorrow today. Lamentations, never quote that very often, do we? But Lamentations 3, it came up in the commentary and I really liked it. His compassion, that's the God, the Father, his compassions are new every morning. Wow. God doesn't worry. He just provides more grace. That just comforted me. We do not need tomorrow's grace today. We need today's grace today. My grace is sufficient for you. So do not worry about tomorrow. Why? Because when we worry, we need to pray. When we pray, we need to trust. And when we trust, we need to obey. Can you see, if we really are purporting a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we really do accept him as Lord and Savior in our life, if we really do want our lives to be aligned with him, to be part of his kingdom, respond to his call and live our lives for him, this is the challenge of what we should be doing. The problem, the situation, the circumstance may not disappear, but God's peace will guard us through it. It's quite challenging, isn't it? We know who holds the future. We may think, you know, it'll be all right. I'll know what's going to, it'll work out okay in the end. That's what we may say that to people. I'm sure it'll work out in the end. Well, we have as believers an assurance that it will. We don't have a hope. We're way beyond hope. If you have a hope it'll work out in the end, how strong is your faith? Assurance is what we have. yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. The God that you and I trust, the God that has called us to him, he gives us the assurance that he is with us in whatever. Therefore, we do not need to worry about tomorrow. So three things to do this week. This is the challenge. Seek God first. Trust him today. And leave tomorrow with God. Now, I believe that's what this scripture is saying. And I do know the commentators believe it as well. But is it a lesson we're ready to hear? Is it a lesson we're ready to apply? Because it is so easy for us to sink back down and worry about that. But my hope and prayer this morning is that God speaks to our hearts, that through Jesus' words directly to us, we can be assured of tomorrow, so we can live in today.